Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Man Reimagined. Malcolm Nichols, are you there?
Yes, Richie. It's lovely to be back. How are you doing, my friend?
Tip top. I am tip top. Actually, that's a lie. I'm not. This episode is, it's one of those ones where we're responding to something in real time. And as we record, it's 4 days after International Women's Day. And I have learned a lot this week, and I want to speak to some of the things that I've learned and help get you to help me make sense of some of them, basically, Malcolm. International Women's Day is, it happens every year, and it's kind of well acknowledged and celebrated in the circles that I hang around in anyway, and I think it's a great thing. And we can talk about International Men's Day later and how that's not really a thing yet and why that is. But what came out this week was a study conducted by the World Health Organization. And they did a worldwide study over about 10 years. And I think it was 2008 to 2018. And so the COVID impact is not taken into account, which would exacerbate these figures. But what it points out is that roughly worldwide on average, like 25% or a quarter of all women experience some form of abuse from a man in their lives. In places like, I think, the Democratic Republic of Congo, it was like 35% of women. And, you know, we sort of moved down the scale. I think Southeast Asia and Southern Europe were around 16%. But Northern Europe, where I live at least, was around 26%. And this is not okay. this is ridiculous. And I had a conversation with a woman recently who, before this study came out, she was pointing out that she has to plan her way home. She really has to give a lot of thought about how she makes her way home in order to feel safe. And I may have shared that on this podcast before, but it's worth sharing again, because we don't have to think about that as men. And it's just been such a wake-up call to me that not only do women have to really think about how to get home to feel safe is a very good reason. And now we've got statistics to bear this out. So this week also, a woman was found in the woods. She'd been kidnapped somewhere in London. And by what appears to be, it's not conclusive yet, but it appears to be a police officer, which again is, you know, less than cool. It's really it's affected a lot of people in terms of the police are here to protect us, right? And there are vigils being planned as we record in the UK, by women for women, to just kind of come together and speak to this kind of stuff. Like, we don't feel safe, and the statistics bear this out. Finally, the femicide census, and this is in the UK, shows that a woman dies at the hands of a man every 3 days. So I'm just left sitting here going, I'm not really interested in championing men. That's never been what these conversations or what men's work has been about for me. It's been about us kind of catching up, actually. That's always the way I'd frame it. And that might challenge some people. But just, you know, for us to find support for each other. But I'm just left going, how do we deal with this? How do I justify that? Is it even appropriate right now? Like, and the fundamental question is, what has been our response to, like, this kind of information and this kind of reality? And for me, it's been absolute silence. And that silence is, to me, deafening, and it's not okay. And I want you to help me kind of make sense of this, because we need to respond as men to this. We need to start appreciating what women go through on a daily basis, at work, on the way home from work or from somewhere, and the fact that we can't relate to this lack of safety. So that's my long intro, but let's pick it up from there, Malcolm. Like, what are your thoughts on this topic, and what on earth do we do, and where do we go from here?
Oh, yeah, Richie, it's kind of, listening to you talk, it's an overwhelming bunch of statistics that you've banged out at me and at us, really, about that. And it's really hard to hear that. And, you know, the very first thing I thought of as you're doing that is like, wow, it's really, you know, I just want to bury my head in the sand and kind of forget it. Because that's a big thing to deal with. And I can, you know, I'm thinking, what is it that men are doing about this? I think we're burying our heads in the sands, a lot of us, you know, not all men for sure. But those statistics are just hard to hear, and they're alarming, aren't they? And I think one of the big questions that probably is worthwhile myself asking right now as we start this podcast is, you know, how am I complicit in this at the moment, right? I think that's maybe where I want to start is am I in any way complicit to this happening for women? And because that's potentially the hardest place to start, right? How am I contributing to this horrific statistic? And the easy answer would be to say, well, I'm not contributing to it. You know, I'm a caring, loving husband, and I'm the father of a daughter and everything else, but I'm contributing to it, I guess, in many ways, just by my silence and my apathy to it. I mean, you have shared that piece about a woman, a friend of yours, having to plan her way home. And I'm sure that that's not an uncommon experience, but I certainly don't, you know, I don't go out of my way to try to make the world safer for women. I don't even ask the question of what would make it safer. So I think, you know, probably another way that I'm complicit is I'm not actually finding, I don't actually spend any time asking women the questions about how they feel enough and in what way could I make a difference to them in their lives. And I don't even know if they want me to ask that question, because which again shows, I guess, my probably a level of apathy that does exist inside of me around that.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, it's like, I'm not sure if they want me to ask. It's like, well, we as men, I think off the top of my head, so, you know, I may well shift on this, but as I'm feeling into this, we need to take that responsibility to ask, you know, because no matter, it's going to be more discomforting or uncomfortable for us, I guess, to ask that and to hear the response than it is for them. Like I imagine women probably would appreciate that. And again, I catch myself going, why are two men having this conversation without a woman, you know? And to speak to that, like, we have actually lined up some women to come on the show, and we're excited about that. So we'll plow through this together as two men, just trying to make sense of it as is the podcast, right? But that they are to come. And also just to correct the fact that I didn't acknowledge this woman who was murdered's name. And I want to do that. And her name was Sarah Everard. I believe that's how you pronounce it. So I just want her name to be heard and acknowledged as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, cool. Thanks, Rich. I think you're exactly right. It's the fact that it is two men having this conversation, but I actually think that it is good that we actually are having it, because to be honest, it would have been quite easy to skip over what you've just brought to our attention, really. You know, one of the things that we're doing in this podcast is addressing, you know, what are some of the issues around men and trying to help men become including ourselves, really, the best versions that we can be. But that can't really happen as long as there is the state of inequality that exists between men and women. And, you know, I mean, I know in New Zealand that often this inequality is often couched in economic terms, probably more than anything else, right? The lack of wage, or the wage disparity, sorry. But I think this one about the violence is just so, it's just such a raw statistic that we have to address this as men, don't we? You know, I think it's actually the blight, it's the massive blight that exists on all of us as a gender. And I think this is probably where I'm getting to myself as we're having this conversation, by my apathy and by my saying it's not me, I'm a good man, is actually doing a disservice to trying to solve this problem. I think that, you know, we as men need to really step forward and start taking responsibility for this as an entire gender, don't we, Rich?
Agreed. I can imagine the challenge to that was like, I am not responsible and I shouldn't have to carry the burden and the guilt and the weight of all of these terrible things because I am a good human and I don't do these kind of things. And it's like, yeah, that was me actually. And that separate story I might have mentioned before about Harvey Weinstein and me just going back when me and you were in Bali, just saying, well, you know, I don't have the potential to do that. And yet I have to acknowledge that I have the potential to do that. You know, like it's doesn't mean that I need to carry guilt and shame and walk around with that. But I just need to understand that, you know, I need to acknowledge this. I need to acknowledge that I'm, by saying nothing, like you so very importantly pointed out, by displaying apathy, I'm part of the problem. And we can extend that to, you know, so many problems around the world, like race and all of these kind of things. But let's like stick to, you know, what we're talking about here, which is this problem with violence towards women. Fuck, like I'm quite emotional. You can hear it. Like it's not okay. And although I've never struck a woman and never thought about it, like my responsibility is in talking about it, is in finding out how it feels for women. And again, like, and how to do that? Like, I'm not sure. Like, does every woman want that conversation to be had, and how and when? Like, I don't know. But fuck, like, I really think that we as men need to take responsibility and invite that conversation. And maybe get it wrong sometimes, but like, show that we give a monkeys. I'm trying not to swear as much, but you know, show that we actually care. Show that we're. Like this silence of ours is, like you said, this head in the sand mentality. It's we don't want to get it wrong, but we're getting it wrong by not doing or saying anything. And like, I don't see many leaders or male role models kind of speaking to it. I don't see anything that makes me think there's a model of how to actually have this kind of conversation. Or, you know, I'm not interested in shaming men in general. That's not the way to go. But to acknowledge and just to point out and say, look, hey, we're part of the problem by not doing anything and stepping up and saying something. Like, but what does that look like? I mean, do you have a sense of how we can start to invite these conversations in? Because I'm not really a fan of this sort of en masse, you know, outpouring on social media of saying I'm guilty or I'm this. And it's like, okay, you've made a statement, you know, like, but that feels skin deep and or superficial. And it's the behaviors, you know, beyond the declaration of something that needs to actually shift. And that means on a daily basis, like thinking differently and behaving differently. And how do we do that?
Yeah, well, I guess that speaks to this actual name that you and I came up with for this podcast, right? Man Reimagined, you know, so this is the reimagining of us right now. And, you know, I mean, I think there's an interesting one around this idea of, you know, how many men actually get out and march with women in, for example, you know, like, let's take the the Million Woman March or various other things. I know that in the past there have been marches in New Zealand, and I'm curious to know how many men actually partake, because I certainly never have, and I know that I probably couldn't name one man who has, and I think that actually speaks volumes in this as well. It's like, it does feel to me that from an activism perspective, you know, men themselves, we as men do feel like we're more apathetic in activist terms. Like, speaking in New Zealand, it feels much more like it is the women who are out there protesting, fighting for change. And it feels like the men are sitting way much more in the background in relation to that. So part of this for me is actually willing to stand up. You know, I feel like, you know, for myself, it's like even just saying this right now, it's like starting to give this a voice, and actually, you know, it's not like you said, not just dropping something in a Facebook page and going, yeah, you know, wiping our hands clean and go, yep, there we go, I'm done. But actually, you know, I'd actually like to see us be myself. I'd like to see myself and other men be much more, actually begin to be active in this support, you know, like get out on the street, be pronounced, or I can't even get the word for it, but be seen, you know, be seen, I think is something that we're not, men, and I'm actually really sad about that. I'm sad about it for myself, and I'm sad about for men in general that we're not at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the word avoidance comes to mind, and that seems harsh. But it feels like it is. This silence is, you know, we're not directly affected, you know, by stuff like this. And yeah, I'm running out of words too. This is almost where it's like, let's, you know, we need women in this conversation.
That's right.
We need to actually ask them, like, how do we show support? How do we behave differently? And again, like a march and showing solidarity, like, are we welcome there? Like, I don't know, but to ask, are we welcome, and to find out, like, that's a really great start. But again, I'm coming back to the daily behaviors and mindset shifts that are necessary to start becoming more aware of how we may be impacting women without even realizing it. And just by asking them a bit more, that interests me more than, again, like, I'm not rejecting a march, but I just feel that that's marches come and go, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't create, like, lasting change. They're important. They're important. But we've, protests do work, you know, and how women, I forget her name, but back in America in the early 20th century, a woman went on a hunger strike for a really, really long time. And it was a really big piece of how women should, I think it was Woodrow Wilson, the president, ended up, because of this, like, acknowledging, okay, look, you know, supporting women's suffrage and finally, you know, the right to vote, the right to vote became a reality. So it's important that protests do happen. But today, I think we need something bigger going on. There are plenty of celebrities that are very good at making poignant kind of messages, but it's the conversations that people are having. Like, there's this, it's Will Smith's partner, Jada Pinkett Smith, and her daughter and her mother. They come together and they call it the Red Room Talks, I think. You can tell how many episodes I've seen, but it's women coming together and discussing issues like live. And it gets very real from the clips that I've seen. Like, where are the men in this? Where are the men's version of this? Where we're actually contributing to listening to this. Like, where's our version of that? Not so we can just be men and talk about men's stuff. Like, there's plenty of that. But I mean, getting involved, asking to be involved, in order to start behaving and thinking differently, like that's where media still does have an impact beyond posting here and there. Like when you watch these programs and people are getting real and getting deep into things, and you're like, ah, and then you hear like what people's real experiences are, and then you can understand things better. Like, I don't know how many men watch this. Like, I can't say I watch it regularly myself, but where's the inquiry, you know, to behaving differently, to wanting to find out?
Yeah.
I guess like we can maybe, we're asking lots of questions that we don't have the answers to, but I'd like to shift gears to this, the cost, you know, to any man that's still listening and hasn't sort of switched this off in avoidance and gone, oh, I'm out of here. Fair enough. Like, or not. Why is it that we're so quiet? Why is it that we avoid speaking, even gathering in these circles? What's the cost of not doing anything? And what do you think that is, Malcolm Nichols?
Well, so here's the interesting thing, is the cost at the moment is not not big enough. You know, I mean, I think that's
right.
That's the reality, you know, that's the reality, right? I think about all the work that, you know, both you and I do around change, and how, you know, pain, it's personal pain and group pain is the greatest motivator for change. And one of the big reasons why men, when it comes down to it, don't change is there's not enough, we're not suffering enough. We're not suffering any through any of this, right? It's
right.
It's an obscure thing, but we're not suffering enough, and that's part of the issue that we actually need to address. It's like, I think we need to somehow begin to feel the pain that women are experiencing. And as you said, you know, part of that is getting into these conversations, absolutely understanding, trying to develop, you know, cross that divide, that empathetic divide, and really feel. But there's another part is actually just the act of taking responsibility to try to cross that bridge. And what there's one thing that I can remember from a conversation. And it's come up in one of our previous podcasts, I think, Richie, this idea of emotional load around, you know, particularly at home, how women carry the emotional load. And a great example of that is putting out the washing, how a man will ask their partner, hey, darling, would you like me to put out the washing? As if, you know, I'm helping, I'm going to put out the washing. It's always this asking, should I do it? Should I do it? Rather than just getting out and fucking doing it. And I think this is part of, even as we're having this conversation, you know, part of us having, you know, wanting to ask with women, you know, should we join in? It's like, I think we actually just need to fucking do it as well, you know, because you know, take responsibility for it, and yes, have all these conversations, do it, but I think we also need to actually start to just do it and not put some of this emotional load on women about how we do it sometimes. You know, I think doing something is better than doing nothing, even if we get it wrong. Yeah, that was a bit of a rant.
No, I hear, I agree. I think it's time to just, take responsibility and just step up. But again, as you pointed out, like without a certain amount of pain, like change doesn't happen. And maybe I'll just try and dish some out. And this is, okay, warning, my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. And it's already, it's loaded with an emotional charge. So here we go. But like what I think the cost of not doing anything and just letting this continue for men is that we are going to continue to fall behind and seem less and less relevant. And women are going to lose more and more faith in us. They're going to continue to evolve and excel in different ways as they find more and more solidarity with each other, with these circles, with these there's so much support out there that they're creating, you know, women's entrepreneurial this, and they'll find their way. You know, they, I'm sure like not all of them want to ditch men and let us go, and they want to take us with them, but it's not their role to do that. And they're going to continue to evolve together, and they're going to just leave us behind. And we're going to be figuring out what on earth happened in the last few years, especially, you know, now that these laws are coming in and saying like, hey, it's not laws yet, but saying more women need to be in higher positions of authority and power. And we Frauenquote in German, like this quota to make sure that it's equal, like great. And we're going to see great results as they do that. Like I've been reading the People's History of American Empire recently. And I'm not having a go at America. It's a worldwide problem, but you know, what men have done, is we just can't get away with it anymore. And we're just seeming less and less relevant to me and the men that I see until they start embodying some of these more kind of compassionate and open and caring qualities that women espouse. They just seem like they're super out of touch. And I'm just seeing more and more women step up into positions of authority. And we can, Jacinta Ardern, your prime minister is a great example, that are doing great, great jobs. And men are just, my feeling is we're going to start to feel less and less relevant, less and less connected. And unless we step up now and take responsibility and ask and be humble enough to just be like, yeah, I've got a bit of catching up to do on this whole emotional spectrum stuff, you know, and I'm willing to be shit and I'm willing to not know, you know, and I'm willing to grow and to learn and see it as a challenge and play catch up for a bit in order to serve this planet better. I think we're going to be in real, real trouble. And I think that humility and a wake up call of like, what happens if we don't, is we're going to be super out of touch and super irrelevant and just end up really questioning roles of purpose and even more, like how are we even relevant in this world anymore? Like I see women completely moving in the other direction. It's time, but I want to see us together, you know, moving towards this. And let's let's just take responsibility, come together as men, do this circle work, do this evolution that we need to have, this making sense of where we are, so that we can show up better in this world.
That was just beautifully said, Richie, and I don't know if I really need to add anything more to that. Except to say, you know, maybe the world could do with men losing a bit of relevance in order to save us. But
right.
But you know, I think everything that you articulated is beautiful, and I noticed that as you were saying that too, that I felt myself, in fact, in many ways, kind of the anger that I've been feeling through this podcast really subsided, and I just went, yeah, you know what, this is true, and we do, you know, we are on a bit of a precipice as men to address all of these issues, and. You know, if we don't, you know, some part of me goes, the world might be better off without us, you know, but that isn't doing us a service either. We've got so much gifts, we've got so much to give, and it is time that we stepped up. And one of the ways of doing that in this podcast is by beginning to address this horrible statistic around the abuse of women and then, you know, less obvious but probably more insidious is just this power, this physical power dysfunction. You know, thinking about what's happening with the governor of New York right now, you know, and the stuff that's coming out about him. And, you know, just,
I'm not clear on that. Sorry. Can you clarify for me and anyone else who might be listening?
So the governor of New York, they're talking about impeaching him because there's three or four instances that have coming out where he's just having inappropriate conversations with people that he's worked with in working environments. A couple of complaints have been laid against him. And you know, from first blanch, you might look at it and go, well, they're not that big a deal. It's It could potentially just be a man trying to be a bit flirty with a woman. But again, it's all to do with this power imbalance of, you know, not just a position in work, but it is a male-female thing that goes on constantly around, which is what the Me Too movement sprung up out of. But it's still here. There's still a light that needs to be shone on the power imbalance between men and women. And I think that this is just another example. Well, for me, it's just another example of how we've got a long way to go on it.
Yeah, and that stood out to me because you were like, you know, he had some inappropriate conversations and he could be impeached for that. And it's like, they're just conversations. It's like, whoa, like that's my first reaction. But I exactly. don't know. I don't understand as a man, like what that conversation can do. And the fact that, you know, what does yep. abuse even mean? Like it definitely is more than physical. And it's definitely this unwanted, you know, approach, this God knows what kind of things that men could say to women, but it's not okay. You know, I need to learn what that's like and what's okay to say and what's not, you know? I don't see myself as being that person, but I don't know, you know, yeah. like I don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And it's not okay. It's responsibility again, hands up and going like women, hey, like, yeah, come here, tell us, what are these kind of things that we need to watch out for? What are the kind of, why is it that you feel like at work and in so many areas of life that uncomfortable, and how is it that we behave that puts you in that space? It's a conversation that needs to be had, because that's the first step to something bigger happening. You know, if women stay silent because, you know, they want to keep their job and stuff, then it's just not okay.
Yep. And I think that leads and segues beautifully into what the next podcast will have, a woman who we will be talking to, asking a number of these questions to, hopefully, and getting some really good insight to. Hey, Richie.
Yes, 100%. I'm looking forward to that a lot. And perhaps let's wrap that up for now. This has been an emotional episode, for me at least. I know you said you noticed some anger there. I'm really curious as to what anyone listening, men, women, non-binary, however you identify, like what that brought up for you. Sorry, not sorry in a way, you know, like these are hard conversations, but I don't want to avoid it. I'm laying myself bare and my inadequacies and my ignorance for sure. But this is how I'm feeling and this is how confused I am. And there's a charge with that. So how's that landed with everyone else listening? You know, is it refreshing? Is it like totally out of touch? Like, would love to hear your thoughts, because I'm just trying to be real. And so are you, Mal. But like, yeah, we need help and we need to take some action here, because making sense of it is step one. And we need to do that, I think, first as men, but then, wow, like to really impact change, we need to listen. We need to learn how to, you know, behave differently and then take responsibility and actually do that. So I welcome this next series of conversations with other people helping us on this journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And just for me, I think, you know, when I reflect back on this conversation, I certainly feel as if I've been slightly incoherent and not really particularly on point as we've been talking. But I think that in many ways sums up how I am and how I am in relation to this particular topic and what needs to be done about it, because it does feel to me like there's a total lack of clarity. And so it feels to me as if the mission, one of my personal missions, is to try to gain more clarity as we progress over the next few podcasts around this topic, and to see that question that you posed, you know, what do we do and how do we become better men in relation to this topic? And just to add one final little bit before we sign off here, Rich, as you talked about, you said men, women, non-binary, etc. You know, one thing, we are talking about women here, but we haven't gone into this whole transgender, non-binary topic, because that's, I'm even less clear about what that is like. And
right.
And, you know, so I just want to acknowledge that if there's anybody listening here who's not identifying man or as a man or a woman, you know, just acknowledge that yes, there is another conversation there, and that is to be had. But and to acknowledge that it's a conversation I know very little about as well.
Yeah, thanks for highlighting that. That's really important. And if there's anyone out there that does identify, you know, as non-binary or transgender that would love to come on and help us learn and make sense and grow, then we're very open to that conversation. So the invitation's there.
Nice one, okay. Richie. All right, mate. Beautiful. All right. Thank you so much for tonight. I really appreciate your candor, openness, and direction in the way that you took this podcast.
Thanks, mate. Let's see how it goes down. I need a rest now.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Until next time, my friend.
All right. Take care, mate. Bye.
You too. Ciao, bro. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.